Krishna. The same song. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doye Gora More. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Doye Gora More. You can find it, that song.
Yep.
Oh,
Sri Shachinanda Gaudhari, he returned to Jagannath Puri, taking the advice of Sanatana Goswami. And then he remained in Jagannath Puri for a few months. So Rupa Goswami, he sent a messenger to Puri to get information when Shachinanda will again attempt to go to Vrindavan, when he will go to Vrindavan. He wanted the news, and Rupa Goswami had already extricated himself from the employment of the Nawab. And then, as described, he divided his wealth. He sent his wealth in notes back to East Bengal and divided it half to the Vaishnava Brahmins, half a quarter to the family members. He didn't have wife and children, by the way, Rupa Goswami. They didn't have children or wife. Family members means extended family. And a quarter he left for him, he kept for himself for any personal emergency, and subsequently that amount that he kept for himself, actually he used for the escape from jail of Sanatana Goswami. And then news returned that Shachinandan had already departed. He got the news Shachinandan had already departed for Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami and Anupam, there's three brothers, Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam. So Rupa and Anupam, they left Ramkeli up here, and then they began journeying. From Ramkeli, here it says Ramkeli. And then they journeyed along Marganga, makes it Marganga. Here is Varanasi, and they carried on, and here is Prayag. And Sachinanda, he was here in Jagannath Puri. And he went through, this is Jarikam forest. He went through here preaching, delivering the tigers and the elephants. And Shachinanda, he briefly went through Varanasi and Prayag, and he went along Jamuna to Ganga, to Vrindavan. Here, this is Vrindavan. Jamuna, this is Jamuna. Madhuban. Brindavan. He went to Vrindavan, and then he returned along the banks of Marganga and reached Prayag, and at that time Rupa Goswami had come and they met in Prayag. So we're carrying on from this point. Prabhu Chalayachin Bintu Madhav Darshane Lok 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 Aishe Prabhu Milane. So at that time, Sachinandan was Chalayachan, he was going to take the darshan of Bindu Madhav, the Radha Krishna deity in Varanasi. Still, you can go and take the darshan of Bindu Madhav deity in Varanasi. It's near Prayag, the Shangam, you take bath, Bindu Madhav. So as he was going, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people, lots and lots of people, Prabhur Milan came to associate Milan to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Keho Kande, Keho Hashe, Keho Nache Gai, Krishna Krishna Bori, Keho Gadagari Jai. Keho Kande, some were crying. Keho Hashe, some were laughing. Keho Nache Gao, some were dancing and singing. Krishna Krishna Bori. Keho Gada Gadi Jai. What is Gada Gadi? Gada Gadi is rolling on the ground. Rolling on the ground. So here's mentioned that rolling on the ground in the
Thank you. I recently was in Navadip Dham, Shmaipur, and I inquired at the time from His Holiness Srila Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj. He was giving the class, and he mentioned the Gadadari, that Shachinandan and Nityananda were rolling on the ground. So I inquired from His Holiness, is it appropriate for us to roll on the ground in the kirtan? Is it appropriate for us to roll on the ground in the kirtan? Gadadari, rolling on the ground. You know what that means? It's like you're and you roll on the ground. We don't see so often. You see in Bengal, we don't see it so often. The Maharaj responds to us, well, this type of gadagari, this type of rolling on the ground, it's not that, okay, now I'm going to roll on the ground, everyone take a look. Oh, not like that. It's rolling on the ground because they're unable to contain the ecstasy. So Maharaj's answer was yes, you can roll on the ground in the kirtan if you're unable to restrain yourself. And then he said, actually, we tend to not display the symptoms of ecstasy. We try to restrain the display of the symptoms of ecstasy. He was joking with me. He was saying you have to try to control yourself. Anyway, Dada, they were rolling on the ground in the kirtan. Now it's very interesting that Ganga Jamuna Prayag Narya Bhubaite, even though Prayag is at the confluence of Ganga Jamuna, Narilo Dubaite, these two rivers never flooded Prayag. Prabhu Dubailo, Krishna primary one, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inundated Dubailo, he submerged Prayag in the Krishna primary one, in the flood of Krishna primary. Now this is very interesting. We were discussing last night, we mentioned last night that Srila Prabhupada in 1968, he published the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the significance of that is that Prabhupada considered it important to introduce the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world. He considered that a priority. And thus, even before completing, carrying on with Srimad Bhagavatam translation, Prabhupada wrote and published teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Before the second canto was 1969, and then Krishna book, Nectar Devotion, but before all of those, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And what's another fascinating fact is that in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, we were discussing, is fundamentally a summary of Madhva Lila and all of the principal pastimes of Madhva Lila, beginning from Sarvabhama Bhattacharya's deliverance to Prakasananda Saraswati Thakur's deliverance as the end of the Madhva Lila. All of those leaders are described in teaching towards your attention. Now what's particularly significant, which we are noting with particular attention, is that Prabhupada, he begins the teaching towards your attention. He doesn't begin at the beginning of the Madhva Lila. He begins with the Rupa Shika, which is chapter 19 of Madhva Lila. That's the first chapter in teaching to Lord Chaitanya, Rupa Shika. And he does not even begin in the beginning of the chapter. He begins at this very point. This is the opening description of teaching to Lord Chaitanya. Sachinandan is walking and thousands of people are following and dancing and rolling on the ground and crying. This is the way Srila Prabhupada introduced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world at the height of his ecstatic preaching. This is significant. Prabhupada's making a statement here that look at this. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first impression is very lasting. This is our movement. It's the unlimited spreading of Krishna praying by chanting Hare Krishna all over the world, all over the planet, indiscriminately. This is our movement, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Rupa and Anupam, they arrived at this time and they saw this procession. touching on them, thousands and thousands of devotees chanting, rolling on the ground, crying, laughing, dancing. And then, subsequently, after some time, they approached. And Nama Shlokpuri, Ute, Pore, Baba, Nama Shlokpuri, chanting various verses. Ute, Pore, they fell down and then they got up, Bar Ba, again and again, falling down and getting up, again and again, falling down and getting up, in ecstasy and love of God. Prabhu Deke Prana Veshe Koilo Duha, Duha means two. So these two brothers, Prabhu Deke, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prana Veshe Koilo, Prana Veshe, Avesh means to enter, Prana Veshe Koilo, the Prana overwhelmed them, love of God, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and falling down on the ground, getting up, they're chanting various verses, Nama Shlokpuri, various verses glorifying the Lord. And seeing Rupa and Anupama, Sri Rup Dekhiya, Prabhur Prashanna Hoilamon, Sri Rup Dekhiya, seeing Rupa Goswami, Prabhu Prashanna Hoilamon, Mahaprabhu, he became very pleased. Prashanna Hoilamon. Uto, Uto, Rup, Aisho, Palila, Vachon, get up, Rup, and come. So, it's not that the more advanced you become in devotional service, the more impersonal you become. And our advanced devotees and gurus are very, very strict. And, No, you can show affection to the disciple. You can show affection and appreciation to the disciple. Uto, uto, rup, aishe, bolila, bocham, come, get up, come. He's very enlivened to see his disciples.
Not that, you know, they're junior, I'm senior. Mm-hmm. Keep the profile.
No, he's very emotional. And Mahaprabhu began quoting verses, many verses. If you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will learn all of the important verses. Mahaprabhu began to glorify Rupa and Sanatana, and devotional service in general. And how much a devotee is dear to him. Now, particularly, what we need to keep in mind, we'll look at this verse, we'll discuss it. Mahaprabhu quoted this verse. And Manami Bhakti Chaturvedi. If a person is a Chaturvedi, they've studied all the Vedas, four Vedas. If they are Name Bhakta, they're not my devotee. Mad Bhakta Swapa Chapriyaha. They're not as dear to me. The Chaturvedi Brahman is not as dear to me as Mad Bhakta, who Swapacha was born in a dog eater family. Born in the family of dog eaters. But if one becomes a bhakta, he's more dear to Krishna than a Chaturvedi Brahman who's not a devotee. Tasmai Deyam. One should offer everything to that Vaishnava, Tato Braham. Whatever he offers, one should accept. Sacha Puja Jatahi Aham. He is as worshipable as I am. So Mahaprabhu, he's making this point, he's establishing this principle in regard to Rupa and Anupam, because actually Rupa and Sanatana, the Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they had been rejected from the Brahminical society. They had been rejected from the Brahminical society because they had accepted the service of the Javan lectures. And in this way, they were no longer accepted in the Brahminical samaj. So Mahaprabhu, this is significant. This is all fundamental principles of our movement. Mahaprabhu is saying, such a rejected person, if he's my devotee, he's more dear to me than the aristocratic Chaturvedi who's not my devotee. Eri Shlokpuri, saying this verse, Duhar Koilo Alingon, he embraced the two. Kripate Duhar Mathai Doryale Charon. And out of mercy, on their heads, Matai, Dorilo Choron, he placed his lotus feet. So at that time, Rupa Goswami, he quoted, he spoke a verse, which is, we attribute that Rupa Goswami composed this verse. At that time, he composed this verse. And so you know this verse, perhaps we can chant together. Namo Maha Varanaya. I'll chant, you listen, and then you chant. Shabon Kirtan. Namo Maha Varanaya.
Namo Maha Varanaya.
Krishna Prema Pradaya Tehi.
Krishna Prema Pradaya Tehi.
Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya.
Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya.
Namne Gaudadrishe Namaha.
Namne Gaudadrishe Namaha.
That I offer my obeisances to the Maha Varanaya, the most merciful. Krishna Prema Pradayate, he's freely distributing love of God, Krishna Prema. Krishna Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Gaudiya Dushena Maha, offer my humble obeisances unto him. Now this verse we chant when we're offering Bhoga. This verse, offering Bhoga, this verse is chanted. And other aspects of puja. So those of you who are from this point on offering Bhoga, you can meditate on the circumstances under which Srila Rupa Goswami composed this verse and offered it to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, one very aristocratic Brahmin named Balabhacharya, who had his residence in Prayagraj, he came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Balabhacharya. Subsequently, he became the founder Acharya of the Pushtimag Balabh Sampradaya, Balabhacharya. And Srila Prabhupada comments that this Sampradaya is particularly popular in Vrindavan and in Mumbai. And sometimes you see Balabhacharya Pushtimag followers with a chanting japa, with a japa bag that looks a little square, a square japa bag. And they're chanting on them silently, Manashik japa. So this, the founder of this Sampradaya, he's at that time, and he's desiring the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a devotee to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Balabhacharya. So he came. And then he's an exalted Brahmin from aristocratic lineage of Brahmins. And Rupa and Anupama are there, and they see him, and they go away. They as Balabhacharya, he's moving toward them, they're going away. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because naturally they're very humble, and he's going to come and touch us, they're going away. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's taking advantage of the circumstance to once again establish an important principle. And in Mahaprabhu, he tests Balabhacharya, and he says, don't touch them. They're rejects from the Vedic society, the Manikal Samadhi. If you touch them, you'll be polluted. You'll be contaminated. You are an aristocratic Brahmin. And Balabhacharya, he passed Mahaprabhu's test. He passed. He didn't fail. He passed the test. And he began quoting verses from Bhagavatam. I've heard in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, there are many present resident learned scholars of Srimad Bhagavatam. The study of Srimad Bhagavatam in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Yeah. So he quoted the verse from the teachings of Kunti, teachings of Devahuti to Kapil Muni. And Devahuti is praising the potency of chanting the holy name to Kapil Muni. Anyone amongst our learned Bhagavad scholars present can know that verse from Devahuti to Kapil Muni about the glories of the holy name. It's an important verse. It's another one. You're close. It's right next to that one. Right next to it. Very close. Yeah, almost got it. The first word is aho. It's quoted in Bhagavad Gita, purports. Aho. Aho means wow. Or as they say in the younger generation, awesome. So let's look at this. Aho. Aho. Aho bhattasapacha dogariyam. Even the dogiyam becomes worshipable. Dogariyam. Yad jivagrivartite nama tupyam. If on his jibwa, on his tongue, nama tupyam, your name appears. On his tongue, your name appears. And it's particularly significant that Devahuti, she says here, she says, jibagre. That means on the tip of the tongue, That means the beginning chanting. Jibara is your beginning to chant, or you're chanting sometimes. A little chanting. Jibagra means somehow the holy name touches your tongue, even a little touch. Jibagra, your beginning. Namatubhyam, tepul stapase juhu shakshamariya. Then just by that little touch of the holy name on your tongue, you complete automatically all of the tapasya, all of the juhu shakshan, all of the Vedic rituals. You've visited all the holy places and taken your bath. You've developed all the good qualities of the Aryan culture, Brahmanachu, and you've studied all the Vedas. Just by a little touch of the holy name on the tongue. And this is a whole, this is awesome. This is amazing. So this verse, Balabhacharya quoted, and he said, how is it possible that they can possibly be untouchable if from their lips we're constantly hearing the holy name of Krishna chanted, that Rupa and Anupama were running away and on the ground and they're like, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, don't touch us, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, chanting the holy name in great humility. How is it possible they can be considered untouchable if from their lips the holy name is constantly heard? And then he chanted this verse. Actually, this is the way Vaishnavas associate with each other. We don't talk about the weather. But you can always talk about the weather in Melbourne. It's always very interesting weather in Melbourne. Actually, I'm born here. Just a few, not so far away, 10 minutes away. I was born here. And I was there when Prabhupada came and lived here and everything. But Dula Bhagavad, I mean, it came. I was 10, 11 years old. Prabhupada was here preaching, but not far away from my house. So, we don't talk about the weather. Actually, I was mentioning that I planned my trip to Melbourne in the middle of summer. That's the schedule. And legal. Last year I came in December and it was cold and I was like, oh, wait a little, I'll come in the middle of summer. Anyway, we don't talk about the weather, we don't talk about the cricket, I think in here in Australia. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about the latest iPhone. We discuss Shastra. So, in order to Vaishnavas discuss Shastra, you need to converse, to associate with the Vaishnavas, so learn the Shastra. Learn the Shastra and speak and discuss. This is how Vaishnavas associate. Katayantas chamam nittam. Discussing about me. That's what Prabhupada wrote all the books. Not just for distribution or selling or making or authorizing our movement, it's so that we absorb our mind in the books, and then that manifests in our interaction with each other. We discuss the philosophy, we discuss the Shastra. So Balabhacharya, he's quoting the verses. Mahaprabhu precepts. Mahaprabhu, he also responded quoting a verse. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasha Jati Shastram Javastapaha Apranesha Shamandam Loparanjana. That without Bhagavad Bhakti, Hinasha, without Bhagavad Bhakti, all of one's birth, one's knowledge of Shastra, one's prayer, one's austerity, it's all just like Apraneya Deha means a dead body. Aprana Deha means a dead body, which you'll see in India, they do it here also. There's a whole industry here of undertakers in this country. It's a big industry. It costs a lot of money to bury someone in this country. The wooden box and everything, the whole thing, undertakers, a big industry. And also they decorate the body. They keep it on ice because all the family members have to come from. They keep it on ice for a week or so. And all the family members gradually come for the funeral. And then they decorate that body. They get a nice suit and a dress. And I won't go into the details. But you can check it out on Google, the undertaker's craft. They take out organs that would smell too much. Stuff the body with straw and stuff like that. And break, make it look good in the coffin. And then the relatives, they come. And the coffin's all soft, soft paddy. You pay extra for that. It'd be comfy down under the ground. So this is the analogy. It's quite graphic. This is Aparinesha Dehesha. Mandalam means decoration. Mandalam, decorating a dead body. And in India also, a little more rustic. I'm fortunate to have a residence on the bank of Mahabanga, Mahabangwiki. And regularly we hear people procession, Haribol, they're bringing an Aparinesha Deha, a dead body. And similarly, that's decorated with flower garlands. So when you look and you say, oh, so beautiful. You look and you say, oh, so handsome, so beautiful, so attractive. Well, this is the decorations of the materialists. This is what it adds up to. Just like decoration on a dead body. If you're not serving Krishna. And in this way, the discussion of the glories of Krishna Bhakti and how dear the devotee of Krishna is to the Lord is established in this interaction. So then they all left to the home of Balabhacharya and they crossed Mahaganga in order to reach his home. Now seeing, as we mentioned, Prayag is the confluence of Ganga, Jamuna, Sharashati, Prayag, Raj. Recently Narendra Modi ji, he changed the name back to the original name. I showed you that ancient map. It's the original name. It had been changed to Allahabad. And Prabhupada lived there, and Prabhupada was initiated there in Allahabad. And Prabhupada had a day pharmacy in Allahabad. And he lived there for many years, Allahabad. And now it's again called Prayag. So they were crossing the river, and as Jamuna, seeing the blackish sham color of the Jamuna, Shachinanda immediately became overwhelmed and he jumped in. And the devotees, and somehow they managed to grab him and pull him back onto the boat. But on the boat he was dancing. And there's no kirtan going on, by the way. There's no kirtan. He's just seeing the color of the Jamuna and he's dancing. This is Shachinanda. And then trying to restrain him. Trying at least to get to the other side. See, there's no motor there, you know. This is the Maji. You have to roll across. This is pre-industrial revolution. They're rowing across. They're trying, and Mahaprabhu was dancing. The boat's rocking and filling up more and more water. Somehow they managed just to reach the other side before the boat completely sunk. And there's a very nice description. We won't go into detail, but very beautiful. How Balabhacharya hosted Shachinanda. Washed his lotus feet, sprinkled the water on his family members, fed remnants to Rupa and Anupam. And the food was cooked by Shachinandan's servant, Balabhacharya, who was also traveling with him. He cooked. And then they returned to the other, again across Ganga. And in a secluded place, Dashashtamedha Ghat, you can go to Prayag. Now, and you can see this temple, which was there, where Rupa and what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat for 10 days. And Mahaprabhu began to instruct Rupa Goswami. And the topics that he covered are mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva, Pranto. Pranto means the ultimate end. The ultimate end. Like we have Vedanta, the end of the Vedas. So the front means the ultimate, the complete end. Completely covering Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva. Shab Shikhaya Prabhu, Bhagavad Siddhanta. Shab Shikhaya, he taught everything, Bhagavad Siddhanta. This is very interesting. Because we'll see now in a few verses. Here already this is up to text, this is around text 50. In less than 100 verses, a few verses. Mahaprabhu, Bhagavat Siddhanta Shobshi Gailo. He taught the entire Bhagavata. The conclusion of Bhagavata. Bhagavat Siddhanta. He taught in those 10 days in this one chapter. So it is very wonderful that the whole of the Bhagavatam, 12 cantos, you can get the message, the Siddhanta, the conclusion, in simply in studying Rupa Shikha. What is Krishna Tattva? The truth of Krishna. Tattva means truth, principle. Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, the principles of devotional service. Rasa Tattva, the principle, the mellows, transcendental mellows. And this evening particularly we'll look at the Bhakti Tattva and Rasa Tattva. So at this point it's very interesting that Kaviraj Goswami, he projects to the future. At this stage, Vrindavan, when Suchinandan visited Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they didn't even know where was Radha Kund. And Mahaprabhu, he revealed Radha Kund and took bath. They didn't know. The Luptali Yiche, all of the Kirtashan, all of the holy places of Vrindavan had become covered over. And Mahaprabhu went there, and it's not like Vrindavan we have today, which is the Tirtha and the spiritual city. Then it was all jungle and no one knew. It had all been forgotten. And that's why Mahaprabhu sends Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, the Goswamis to Vrindavan. E choi go shai javi vrajya koilavash Radha Krishna nitpolila korila prakash. To again reveal korila prakash, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna as they were performed in Vrindavan. So all of these places that we know in Vrindavan, Keshigat, Manshigat, Govardhan, Radhakund, all of these places were identified by the Goswamis and developed. Therefore, they're called six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Vrajabhumi, Shadigoshami Gun, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So at this stage, Kaviraj Goswami, he projects forward. At this stage, you know, they haven't gone to Vrindavan, Vrindavan completely underdeveloped, but he projects forward. After, into the future. And he describes the condition of the Goshamis in Vrindavan, particularly Rupa and Sanatana. And he's mentioning that when the Dhamyatris, those who are going from Bengal to Vrindavan, when they would return, then the Mahaprabhu's devotees, they would inquire, how are Rupa and Sanatana? What is their activities? How are they living? How are they eating? Give us a report from Rupa and Sanatana. And those people, having returned, they would describe. And now Kaviraj Goswami, he begins to describe what they would say. Aniket duha bone chokto brike gon ek brike tole ek ratre shayon. We discussed this the other day in the Bhagavatam class that Aniket, without a room, without a residence, Aniket. You know Niket? You know Shanti Niket? Niket means a residence. So Aniket, no residence, no room, no home, nothing. Duha is two. Bone Chottobrikadon. In the forest, Chottobri, as many Chottobrikadon trees there are in the forest. Ek Briket Tole, the base of the tree. Ek Ratre Shayon. Under one night, they stayed at the base of one tree, and the next night, they went to another tree. And that's that picture that we have here of the Goshamis under the tree, and you can see the same picture. Under the tree, that's why this traditional picture of the Goshamis shows each of them with a tree, based on this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vibhrigrihe shtula bhikkha kahan madhu kari Shukta, Ruti, Channa, Chivaya, Bhoga, Barihari. That from the home of a Brahman, Vipragriha, Shtula, Bika, they begged Madhukari, a little, from each home, like a bee. A bee goes from one flower to the other, and goes off to another one. Just a few moments at each flower, doesn't completely exhaust one flower. A little bit, that's called Madhukari, taking a little from each place. Shukna ruti, dry ruti. No ghee, nothing. Dry ruti. They ate. Achanna, that's dry chickpea. That's it. Dry ruti, dry chickpea. Chibaya, they ate bhoga parihari. Bhoga parihari means they gave up enjoyment that you get from eating. They gave up. They lost, they no longer required any enjoyment from eating. Imagine how our preaching would be if we enforced bulga parihari, no more enjoyment in eating in our movement. How would the preaching be? No one would stay. What is the big joining? No one would stay if we just ate dry rootis and chewing. No rosh, no juice, no ghee, nothing. This is how they sustain themselves. Nidra arvaharika jivijito cha adanta dino. They lost interest in, they conquered bijito, nidra, sleep, nidraha, eating, biha, recreation, vijito, they completely lost interest in eating, sleeping, and sensual relaxation. They completely lost interest in. Karaya matrohate kanta chira bahirvash. Matro, only hate in their hand, only matro. A karaya is the water pot of the sannyasi. Kata chira bahirvash is actually, kata means the quilt, is torn bahirvash, their dress, bahirvash, a torn cloth. Krishna kata, Krishna nam nardam ulosh. Talking about Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna, nartana, dancing with great enthusiasm, ulosh, with great enthusiasm. So it's not that, you know, every few days they ate a chickpea and a quarter of a roti and they sat down the whole time like this. They were extremely active, always working, dancing, discussing. Babu Bhaktira Shastra Karya Likhan Chaitanya Kvatashman Chaitanya Jintan. Sometimes Bhaktira Shastra, the devotional literature, Karya Likhan, they were writing. Chaitanya Kvatashman, they were hearing discussions about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Kvatashman, Kore Chaitanya Jintan. Sometimes they were just thinking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, thinking about his mission, thinking about the significance of his movement. So sometimes we can just be, that means they're being inspired. And correct Chaitanya Chintam. They're feeling inspired. Chaitanya Chintam. They're thinking. They're meditating. They're remembering. They're inspired. They want to do something in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, the Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan particularly, are glorified by Kaviraj Goswami in such a enchanting way. And in this way we can conceptualize what was there, in which way they... This is actual Brajavashi. This is Brajavashi. This is how what it means to be a Brajavashi. With everything else you've given up. And you're simply given yourself. You've given everything for the pleasure of Sri Hari. And you live in his name and say, this is Brajavashi. Prabhu kahe shunaru bhakti roshe lokam. Listen, Prabhu kahe. Prabhu says, shunaru, listen, Rupa, bhakti roshe lokam. The symptoms of the bhakti rosh, the flavors, the mellows of devotion, are regarding, he says, bhakti roshe lokam, regarding the symptoms of bhakti rosh, the devotional mellows, sutra rupe kohi. I am speaking in a very succinct way. Sutra rupe. Just the main points. Sutra rupe. Sutra, venanta sutra. A summary. Sutra rupe. Sutra rupe means a summary form. Sutra rupe kohi. Kohi. I'm speaking a very summary of the bhakti rosh, the symptoms. The description. Bhakti rosh lokman. The description. Because bishtar narjar varnan, the bishtar, the expanded version, bishtar, expanded, bishtar narjar varnan is not possible to describe. It's not possible to describe everything. It's not possible to describe everything. Bishtar, the detailed, the expanded description, bishtar narjar varnan, you cannot cover everything. You cannot explain. So I'm giving you a very simplified, simple description of the Bhakti Rasa. This is very interesting, that the science of bhakti is inconceivable. As Bhagavad Gita 9 chapter text 2 explains, that Raja Vidya Raja Bhujya Pavitraminam Pratyaksha Bhagavan Pratyaksha Bhagavan Danyam Pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means it's a direct experience. It's a direct experience. So that means that everyone that takes to the process of Krishna Bhakti has an experience which is somewhat unique. It's somewhat unique because it's between you and Krishna. And that unique relationship becomes established and becomes nourished and becomes awakened. And that's a unique thing that you have with Krishna. So the Bhakti Rasa Lokam, the symptoms of devotion and loving Krishna, is unlimited. It's not something that you can describe. Your experience can be a completely unique, individual experience of loving Krishna. Within the general format, but you can't cover everything. So it's very exciting. It is unpredictable. The experiences that we can enjoy Bhakti Rasa is unpredictable. There's no limit. So he begins to. So this is a prelude that he's explaining in a simple form, a summary form, and he begins to explain first of all the rarity of the human life, and he's quoting verses. Jalajanavalakshani stavaralakshadinshati, 9 lakhs of water of aquatics, 11 lakhs of reptiles, etc., etc. Amongst them, Chodashi Lok, 8,400,000, and amongst them, 400,000 is a human, so it's a rare to get a human birth. And then he says, most of those who get a human birth are uncivilized, outside of Vanasram Dharma, and not even, we can't even count them as humans. And then he says, amongst us, the small person who actually follow Dharma and Vedic principles, the small amount of those in the human body who actually follow the Sanatana Dharma, most of them are following for material remuneration. Dharmachari. Dharmachari means a follower of the scripture. Dharmachari. Madde. Bahut Dharma Nishta. Most of them are simply following for their own personal enjoyment. Karma Nishta means that they're taken shelter of, or they're attached, or they have faith in the scripture as and the principles of Dharma for fulfilling their desires. Most. Bahut. Most. And then Koti Karma Nishta Madde, amongst millions of such, or even though such people are very rare, amongst millions of them, ek jnani shrestho, a person who actually goes beyond the karma kanda platform and comes to the platform of atmatattva vigyan, knowledge of the self, they're the best. And they're very rare. Koti jnani madde, amongst millions of jnanis, hoy ek jan mukta, you'll find one liberated, one actually liberated soul, amongst koti, amongst millions of jnanis, you'll find one liberated soul. Koti mukta madde, amongst millions of liberated souls, dula ek Krishna bhakta, you may find one Krishna bhakta. Krishna bhakta nishkam, ata eva shanta, bhukti mukti shiri kami shakari ashanta. This verse we often hear. Mahaprabhu is glorifying that the devotee is desireless, because he only desiring what Krishna wants is actually, we're full of desires to please Krishna in so many ways, and we're so busy. That is desireless, because that's Krishna's desire, it's not material desire. Then Mahaprabhu goes on to explain and begin the analogy of the bhakti lota bij, the seed of the creeper of devotion. Prabhupada often quotes this verse. Brahmanda Brahmate. Brahmanda Brahmate means wandering. Brahmate means wandering. Brahmando, throughout the whole universe. Brahmanda, Brahmati. Kono Bhagyavana Jeev. One. Some. Kono means some. One. Any. Kono Bhagyavana. Fortunate soul. Bhagyavana Jeev. Guru Krishna Kripa Pai Bhakti Lota Beach. Gets the Bhakti Lota means the Kripa. So Lota is a Kripa. And the seed of the Kripa. Lota means a Kripa. It clings onto another tree, a lota. What's it called in English? A creeper. Yeah, a creeper in English. It's called a creeper. It grows up the wall, it grows on around outside another tree. Bengali, a lota. Bhakti lota. So the creeper of devotion. In his purport, Prabhupada explains how one. What is this planting of the seed? I'll read. Vaishnav, or devotees, are usually very compassionate upon conditioned souls. Without even being invited, a devotee will go from door to door to enlighten people and to bring them out of the darkness of nestings by injecting knowledge of the living entity's constitutional position as servant of the Lord. Krishna. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. So that Bhakti Gota Beach we get from the Vaishnavas through the Shiksha that they give. We become inspired to take the devotional service, and one gets that seed by associating with the merciful Vaishnavas who are preaching. Prabhupada further goes on to say that that the Bhakti Gota Beach is particularly planted at the time of initiation. However, prior to that, Prabhupada is saying when that first Vaishnava met you at your home or at on the street, that also, the planting of the Bhakti Gota Beach is also beginning. Because you're becoming, your first opportunity to begin to serve Krishna and awaken your bhakti has been planted at that time by their association. And you take the book, or you raise your, or you chant, or you accept the prasad, you're doing bhakti. Your devotion to Krishna has again been rejuvenated. Probably would be the word rejuvenated again. Begun. In ISKCON, it takes quite a time to get initiation. Quite some time to get initiation in ISKCON. Probably from the time that you become a devotee or become probably not possible to be initiated in 3-4 years, maybe the quickest, and in many cases it takes a lot longer to get initiation in ISKCON. Sometimes, because it takes a long time, we may have a conception that, like, finally I'm initiated, that's the end. I made it. I'm initiated. This is the end of the track. I even recall many occasions where people who they come in and they're practicing, and then finally they get initiated, and then the next day they leave. I've seen that. The next day, it's kind of like, well, I've done it. But actually, the initiation, the very word means beginning. So this is the beginning. Initiation is the beginning. Mali and Mahaprabhu you get the seed planted, then you have to become a gardener. Mali is a gardener. Mali koi, kore, she bija aropon. Become a gardener. Mali koi, she bija aropon. You have to nourish that beach, and the beach is nourished in what way? Shravan kirtan jole koraya shechon. Shravan kirtan jo. With the water that nourishes this seed is Shravan Kirtan, hearing and chanting. So one has a garden, and as the gardener, one cultivates his devotional kripa by hearing and chanting. And the result will be Tobe then Jai Tat Upari Goloka Vrindavan. Tat Upari means above. Tat Upari, to that place above. Tobe Jai, then one goes to that place above, Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Charan, Kalpabrikha Kore Arohan. The Kalpabrikha, the tree, Kalpabrikha means the desire for fulfilling tree, Krishna's lotus feet are likened to a desire-fulfilling tree, that the kripa, arohan means climbs. So the kripa, it takes shelter and entwines itself around Krishna's lotus feet in Vrindavan. And this is what we can achieve if we formally take shelter of the Vaishnavas and the process of Rupa Goswami and the hearing and chanting process. The devotional kripa will grow and grow and twine around the lotus feet of Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. And that kripa then, it produces fruit. That fruit is called Premphal, the fruit of love of Godhead, which the Mali, the gardener, then tastes. So this is the Bhakti Lata Bij that actually you read full, this is a lot more, but I'm just giving a brief presentation this evening. But we're encouraging you to delve more deeply into these teachings. Bhagavad Siddhanta, everything is there in the whole Bhagavatam, in these few verses. Then Mahaprabhu began to enumerate the various cautions that the practicing bhakta has to be careful of. Jodi Vaishnav Aparad Ute Hati Mata Upade Bhachide Tashuki Jaipata. If one Vaishnava Aparad, if one offends a Vaishnava, then, which is like a mad elephant, Hati Mata. The elephant has become mad, Hati Mata, a mad elephant. Then Upade, that uprooting or crushing or breaking the kripa is either uprooted or broken. Upade Bhachide Tar Shuki Jaipata. And the leaves dry up. Shuki Jaipata. The leaves dry up. You've ever seen a mad elephant? Anyone here ever seen a mad elephant? No one's ever seen it. Yeah, no one's ever seen a mad elephant. Let's take a look.
In a video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No sound, huh? We should be getting sound, but anyway. The sound is here.
Ooh,
oops, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, my mistake. Yeah, actually this is a temple. Was that the second one here is a temple elephant, you know, so you see them? This one will get it all running away. But look at this next elephant. The next one is a temple elephant. You see the priests, they couldn't get off it. Right? You see the priests sitting there on the one, they couldn't get off for hours. They couldn't get off, the priest is there. Taught it. So we don't want this to happen to our devotional garden. We don't want this to happen. So such things happen, and Mahaprabhu was fully aware of the propensity that elephants have to go mad. Mad elephant. Hatima. So we don't want this to happen. We don't want our garden to be uprooted and all of the plants to be destroyed in this way by Vaishnava Aparad. So Vaishnava Aparad Mahaprabhu, he doesn't go into more detail regarding Vaishnava Aparad, but Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he describes a little more detail. We'll share with you what is Vaishnava Aparad. This is Vaishnava Aparad. One who doesn't express joy upon seeing a Vaishnava. That's an aparad. One who doesn't offer obeisances to a Vaishnava. That's an aparad. One who hates a Vaishnava. One who blasphemes a Vaishnava. Speaks ill of a Vaishnava. One who beats a Vaishnava. Becomes angry with a Vaishnava. Or kills a Vaishnava. These are from Skanda Purana. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Hari Bhakti Vilas. These are mentioned. So we should avoid these. So therefore Mahaprabhu recommends Chate Mali Jatna Kori. The gardener, Jatna Kori, means very carefully. Kore Avaron nourishes the... Kore Avaron actually means protects. He protects the kripa. Aparad Hashid Jakchenai Hai Udgaman, so that the mad elephant propensity doesn't occur. One has to be very cautious. Jatnapuri means one very carefully avoids offending Vaishnavas so that one's kripa is not damaged. And then Mahaprabhu goes on to describe other plants which can also grow along with the Bhakti Lota, and they can choke the development of the Bhakti Lota. Kintu jodi lotar shange ute upashaka, lotar shange, along with the lota, means the Bhakti Lota, shange, along with that, ute arises upashaka. Upashaka means unwanted plants. And he describes particularly what they are. Bhukti mukti bancha. The desires for sense enjoyment or the desires for liberation. Jota ashanka taleka. There are so many such types of, they're the broad categories, but there's so many types of upashaka, unwanted creatures that can grow. Now this is the bhakti tattva that we were mentioning before. This is the science of bhakti. This is specifically for the practitioner of sadhana. That this is not for the materialists that these things grow. This is when you've taken the devotional service, you've had the seed of devotion planted, and you have to be very careful about cultivating these other creepers based upon desire for sense enjoyment or liberation. And then Mahaprabhu particularly enumerates these unwanted creepers. Nisidarchar kuti nati jiva hin chon lava puja puratishtari chakta upashakalam. That the nishidarchar means nishid, forbidden, archar, behavior, principles that we follow, so breaking those. Kuti nata means politics or duplicity amongst Vaishnavas. Lying, politics, manipulating, it's kutinata. These are creepers that also grow. These are creepers that also grow. In other words, a person may come to the devotional practice and cultivate these things also. Jivahinsha, envy, the innocent creatures. La, mundane profit. Love, that you in your practice of sadhana, you're desiring the financial or other material remuneration that becomes available in the life of a devotee. This is, our life is actually a life of opulence, and our movement and our mission is a life of opulence and wealth. And a person may desire, may come to the movement for that. Maybe we don't see that so much perhaps in places like Australia, but in places where they're poor, economy is very, people come to the movement because of their opulence of movement. And their whole purpose in practicing devotional service is to become wealthy. This is a creeper that also may be growing. That's very gross. Also, maybe more subtle, one may desire to be worshipped. Puja and pratishta means one may desire to become famous. Actually, practically speaking, in our movement, it doesn't require much effort to be worshipped and become famous. Yeah, it doesn't require. It's a few years of strict sadhana and enthusiastic devotional service, and everybody will be worshipped, and you'll be glorified, and you'll be given a prestige, and so many things, and posters, and all of these things, and all of, it's very easy to acquire these things in our movement. Very easy. And a person may be desiring these things in their practice of devotional life, desiring to have followers, desiring to be glorified, desiring to be. And whilst they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're also watering these desires. Prabhupada's commenting. Sometimes these unwanted creepers, they look exactly like the bhakti creeper. They look like. So we can convince ourselves that this is okay. our garden. Yes, this looks like we can convince ourselves, and we can maintain these desires. It's okay to desire these things. They appear to be of the same size and same species when they are packed together with the bhakti creeper. But in spite of this, the creepers are called upashanka. A pure devotee can distinguish between the bhakti creeper and a mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. Actually, this topic requires a lot of exploration and discussion. We're just giving you a brief presentation. This is very deep instructions Mahaprabhu is giving for the sadhaka. Shekhajal. Shekhajal means the sprinkled water. Shekhajal. Pai. Upashaka. Boro. Jal. You're watering your sadhana. If you're maintaining these desires implicitly or subtly, your austerities, your seva, your preaching, your japa is watering these upashaka. This is why we may be perplexed when we see a devotee. Apparently, I mean, I've seen in my few decades of devotional practice, people come and they're so enthusiastic and they're doing so much, they're preaching, distributing books, and then after a while, boom, they disappear. They disappear. Because they're unable to overcome these desires. And when the desires are fulfilled, as I mentioned, you can become famous in ISKCON very quickly. They become a big devotee. And then after that, there's no longer any motivation. They're no longer motivated because they have the love, they have facility, they're becoming wealth, they have followers, they work, they're glorified, they've achieved their objective, and they leave. There's no longer any reason for them to continue practicing tapasya or sadhana. They're fulfilled. That's why we see people come, they appear to be very progressing very nicely, and poof, they leave. Because actually they were unable to differentiate between the unwanted creepers and the bhakti creeper, and they're cultivating the unwanted creepers. And eventually their bhakti creeper became so overwhelmed that they just left. Shtabdhahoy mulshaka. Shtabdhahoy. Your bhakti creeper will become stunted in its growth. Shtabdhahoy. Its growth stops. Body they now high and it doesn't grow. And the upashaka grows big. So this is up to each and every sadhaka to internalize, evaluate, and assess their own consciousness and try to recognize these unwanted creepers and don't water them. And don't cultivate them. Try to forget them. Mahaprabhu recommends pratane. In the very beginning, as soon as you recognize, that's the time, pratane, to cut. Pratane, upashaka, korya, chedon. You have to cut. You have to pull it out. Forget that. I haven't come to this movement for that. Forget that. And that can be done by association, hearing and chanting and taking shiksha from a person who has overcome these things. And they can help us. Tobe, then, if you're able to overcome these things, then mulshaka boro jai vrindavan, your bhakti lota grows big, boro jai grows big, and you can reach Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu then goes on to describe the awakening of prema. Actually, he describes pure devotional service. We won't go into detail now, but all of those verses, Anya Vilashita Shunya, Shaloke Shashi Shamitya, Savo Pariginir Muktam, all those verses are quoted in the definition of pure devotional service Mahaprabhu gives. And then Mahaprabhu begins to discuss about the development of prema, which will also let you read on your own. And then he goes on to discuss Rasa Tattva. So we have our different divisions of the nectar devotion, the four different ways of nectar devotion, and these are all described by Mahaprabhu in detail. First, he describes the ingredients of rasa, dokin vibha. And then he describes the primary rasas and the secondary rasas, and this is not described so much in Rukshika, actually, which is what's discussed in the Bhakti Shastri, the first 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion. Sadhana Bhakti, the 64 items, etc. Actually, you'll find most of this in the Sanatana Shika. So, you can read that on your own, and we'll go to this. So that's Rasakatta, described in full detail. I'm not going to cover everything this evening, so you can read on your own. And then Mahaprabhu goes on to describe about the two types, Krishna Roti, two types of prema, two types of prema. Krishna Roti hoi dhuta prakar, two types of loving Krishna. Aisharya Gyan Mishra and Kebal Bayar. The first one is loving Krishna with Aisharya Gyan, which we find in Vaikuntha, where the devotees have the conception that Krishna is God. And the other type of prema is called Kebal Prema, and that's found in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, the devotees have no conception that Krishna is God. Kebal Shuddha Prema Aisharjana Jane Aisharja Dekleo Nijishamon Dishamane. Even if Krishna, Aisharja Dekleo, even if he demonstrates his opulence, Nija Shambandha Shemane, it doesn't overwhelm the intimate relationship. Shambandha means relationship. Nija Shambandha, as a mother, as a friend, as a lover. Even though Krishna displays his opulence, it doesn't disturb the bhav that they don't think Krishna is God, even though he displays his opulence. And Mahaprabhu gives the example of Jashoda, looking into the mouth of Krishna and seeing the universal form, and momentarily she thinks all philosophical. She actually thinks, why am I wasting my life here in householder life? I should be cultivating Atmatattva Vigyan. And then she says, oh, you silly, foolish woman, you have no time for cultivating Atma Vigyan. Just, you have to feed your baby. So this is the example that and therefore this Vrindavan Prem is so pleasing to Krishna because because he can fully enjoy the relationships. It's called Vrajavihari. He enjoys. It's not that Krishna is busy managing the material world and deciding where the sinners and the pious go. Do you ever hear in the Vrindavan Lila, oh, hang on, guys, just give us a minute. There's a crisis in the material world. I just want to give a bit of attention. Give us a few minutes. I'll be back shortly. He's completely... There's no concept that he's the supreme controller. He's the Anandatula, the California Vrindavan. And if the concept of that he's God, if that were to be there in the hearts of the Brajavatis, then they're unable to play the lilas that gives him enjoyment. If Marjasoda is thinking that Nanda Dulal is God, she's not going to chastise him for breaking. You break as many water pot, as many yogurt pots as you like, Prabhu. Where's the enjoyment in that? What mother acts like that to their child? So she forgets he's God. And she's completely convinced that he's a child. And in this way, the lila is enjoyed. And seeing these pastimes, where Krishna is a child, and Mother Jasoda is taking him and feeding him, chastising Krishna, going with the cowboys, they're wrestling, they're sharing their tiffin, he's dancing, seeing these pastimes, we sing every Kartik month. Iti, Mahaprabhu quotes, Iti drik shalilabi ananda kunde swadosham nila jantam. It merges the Brajavasi, Swagosham, his own village, Swagosham, his village friends, they're merged in Ananda Kunde, pools of ecstasy. Iti drik salila vi, singing these pastimes. That's Gopalraj in Vrindavan. Some of this same Mahaprabhu extols the glories of Brajaprana. This is Bhagavad Shikanta. এই ভক্তি রসে করিলাম দীপ দর্শন ইহা বিশ্বার মনে করিহা ভবন. I had simply given a general survey describing the mellows of devotional service. You can consider how to adjust and expand this. Amazing.
Quarter of Pavel.
You develop this. It's not that the guru micro manages the disciple. Just like Narad Muni and Vyas. In one verse, Narad inspired Vyas. You meditate on the pastimes. Narad didn't say first the canto should be this, second canto that. He just said you meditate and you create, that by hearing the people will be liberated. So in this way, the guru empowers the disciple to further spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Aaj hoy ashimuhi Sri Charan Sange Shahite na pare muhi viraha tarange. Today, aaj hoy ashi my desire, ashi muhi my desire, Sri Charan Sange is to go with you. To go with you. Sri Charan Sange, to go with you. Shahite na pari, I cannot tolerate mui, me, biraha tarange, the ocean of separation from you. My desire is to go with you. And Mahaprabhu replies, Prabhu kohe, tomar kartavya amar bachan, nikate ashiyachi tumi jao vrindavan. Your duty is to follow my orders. Tomar kartavya amar bachan, follow my orders. Nikate ashiyachitu, you've come so close to Vrindavan. Nikate, we're just beside Vrindavan. Jao Vrindavan, you go to Vrindavan. And the Goswamis went to Vrindavan and performed such seva there. Mahaprabhu is explaining that I'm, because of the request of my mother, I am here in Jagannath Puri, and all of my objectives in Vrindavan, I am requesting you to fulfill. Rejoy Gosha Javi Broja Koyavash. Radha Krishna Nitalila Korya Prakash. The Goshamis, they expanded these teachings that Mahaprabhu gave them in the Bhakti Shastras that we studied. And they developed all of the holy places in Vrindavan. And in terms of our movement, Srila Prabhupada extensively associated with Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan before beginning his preaching. Prabhupada resided in the Radhadamana Mandir for 5 or 6 years whilst he was compiling his comments and purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly associating with Rupa Goswami, whose bhajan and kutirin samadhi there in Radhadamana Mandir. Sri Rupa Upare Prabhu Chokto Kripa Hoyo. How much mercy Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Rupa Goswami. Adyanta Bishar Kota Shankyet Kohilo. Unlimitedly detailed subject. Adyanta Bishar Kota Shankyet Kohilo. I have spoken in a very short way. So thank you very much. We won't take questions because the arati is about to begin. Thank you very much. We encourage you to study more deeply the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami and further in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we're praying for opportunity. I am requesting that if you pray again, I can associate with you in Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir and discuss the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we'll leave you with this benediction. Shraddha kori ei kotha shuni jei jon prem bhakti bhai shei chandra charan. Shraddha kori with faith ei kotha, this description shuni jei jon, anyone who hears prem bhakti bhai jei shri chaitanya charan, they get devotion to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Rupa Hari.